realfaith.org.au. This is a warning for parents that due to the adult themes being discussed in today's program, it is not recommended for young listeners.
Where it began was as I got older in my teenage years, my coldness grew, and also I started looking for other things. And I think the turning point for me was going, okay, this Christian thing, I'm doing okay because I'm ticking all the boxes. But there was this vacuum still being built in my heart. Just getting all the ticking is not enough. You want to do more.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Once again, my friend Peter Menhennett is joining us for today's program. Peter, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be here again.
Glad to have you back on the program. And Peter, a few years ago, you and I were serving together at the same ministry as our guest today.
Yeah, I think he's following us around, you know?
I think so. And actually, speaking of following us around, now he works just across the car park from the studio here.
In the local church.
That's right. Canterbury Gardens Community Church is where he is one of the pastors there. Welcome to the program, Shibu John.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you guys. Just had to walk a long way to get here.
Yeah, so. I hope this wasn't too far out of your way.
It's a long walk up the driveway.
So as we mentioned, we were in ministry together.
Yep.
You were involved with student ministry,
yep.
University age students.
Yes, that's right. So for about 5 years, my wife and I were involved with a campus ministry here in Melbourne.
Okay, and so that's when we met you. So you're a mature Christian, helping out university-aged people, helping them grow in their faith in the Lord and all that. So mm-hmm. I guess there's a tendency when you meet somebody who's a mature Christian, has passion for serving the Lord,
yep.
there's just a tendency to assume, well, you know, you must have always been that way. You must have come from a strong Christian home and yep. had no problems, clear sailing, just been, you know, always been mature in the Lord. Yep. Was that the case for you?
Oh, definitely. I was probably the perfect person you've ever met in the world.
Okay, well, that's pretty much the end of the conversation.
That's
there's
right.
nothing more to
yeah.
talk about.
But now the truth comes out.
Yes, that's right.
But seriously, there have been some very dark parts of your life.
Yeah, definitely. My journey and story is probably a story about really constantly on a desire to fill in something deep in my soul. And
something was definitely missing.
One time I told a friend, it's like there's a vacuum and I'm trying to fill this vacuum with many things in my life.
Now the irony is, externally, if somebody looked at you from the outside, you look like the good Christian kid.
That's correct. Yeah, I was that poster boy kid from a very young age. So I grew up in a Christian family. My family were people who loved who God is and who Jesus is. They believed in that. So from day one, I knew all of those stories. And when we lived in the Middle East.
Let's back up here. And, well, let's back up even further than
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Because normally we say, well, where were you born?
Uh-huh.
But I want to back up even further than that. Uh-huh. Where were your parents born? Obviously, your name Shibu. We can tell that.
Yes.
That's not a common name here in Australia. Peter, how many Shibus do you know?
One.
This one. Here he is,
yeah,
right
yeah,
here.
My word.
So let's back up to your parents growing up in India, I believe.
Yeah. So my parents, I come from a particular part of India called Kerala. It's a southern part of India. Mm-hmm. And they lived there, were born there. But my great-grandparents are the ones who first came to understand the Christian faith through some missionaries that were there, came from England. And both of them responded to the good news of Jesus in their own separate lives. And what happened was in those days they had arranged marriages. Two families met together. My mum and dad were arranged to get married.
Mm-hmm.
They married and after they got married, dad worked in the Middle East. And that's where most of my life, my early days, that's where I was born. I still remember going to places where you had clear water streamings out of the desert.
Oh, wow.
That you could drink straight from. And
really?
Yeah, and just...
Well, you can't do that in too many places.
No, that's right.
Not yep. today.
Yeah.
All right, and then you moved to Melbourne when you were 10 years old?
Yeah, so coming here, like, we transitioned well. My dad was fairly... It was a huge thing for him. He was involved in banking, sacrificed a lot to get this simple job in the university, and I just went to school. Came home, went to church on Sundays.
Good Christian kid.
Good Christian kid. And I even remember one of is growing up, my parents were so wanting me to know this Christian faith. Most kids during school holidays would be out playing in the backyard or doing things. My mum used to make me memorize Bible passages. And,
oh, okay.
And I memorized these Bible passages and I thought, yes, I'm being a good Christian. But what was going on was I just really played a part, really, as I reflect back on my life.
And there's a Bible verse that kind of talks about what was happening in your life?
Yeah, so when I look back on my life, there's this wonderful story about how Jesus talks about different seeds.
Mm-hmm. Some are planted on fertile soil and grow and everything.
That's right. So some are planted on particular types of ground. But the one that really resonates with me is the one where talks about one was planted on the ground, but as it grew up, weeds and things choked it.
The concerns of this world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he choked it.
That's right. He later goes to explain that it's about the concerns and the things of this world choking it up. And for me, that turning point was really in high school. I knew all the religious things, did all the religious things. I was that kid that was telling people what they're doing wrong during...
Oh, we just love those kind of kids.
I was that,
The kind of self-righteous.
Very much so.
Pointing out people their sins.
Yes, that's right.
And how you were a goody-goody and you never did those bad things.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what I assumed or tried. I hit it really well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But some of those weeds were getting ready to deceive you at that point.
Oh, very
much
so.
And take you in another direction.
Yes, that's right. And where it began was as I got older in my teenage years, my coldness grew. And also I started looking for other things. And I think the turning point for me was going, okay, this Christian thing, I'm doing okay because I'm ticking all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this vacuum still being built in my heart.
Because rules are never going to fill your
heart. Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting all the ticking is not enough.
Legalism. Like
you want to do more. And it was during that time, you know, hitting the teenage years, I started thinking about sex and sexuality and...
Now the hormones are kicking in.
Yeah, it's all kicking in.
We should say before we go any further that some of this conversation is not going to be appropriate for younger listeners. We're going to have a frank conversation.
Yep.
So we just want to let parents know that before we continue.
Yeah, and it was during that time... I still remember to this day, a friend of mine was, we were all hanging out and he took me to one of his friend's house and we were just in his room, just, you know, sitting there and I turned around and there was this pile of magazines and I thought, huh, those are interesting pictures of naked women. And so I grabbed it and I had a look on it and that was it. It just opened up a world to me that I wasn't aware of, didn't know. And now I started pursuing it pretty hard every day. It became, looking back now, it was an addiction.
But it's very interesting how the devil works, that on the one hand we can be thinking, oh man, I am so good. I am really obeying the rules and ticking the boxes. And that's right when he can get you tempted and lure you into a trap.
Yep, that's right.
And it's a dreadful trap because when you're involved in that area, pornography, you can justify it to yourself by saying, I don't slur my words. Mm-hmm. I can walk in a straight line.
Mm-hmm. You're not a drug addict.
I don't have needle marks on my arms. I'm okay.
Yep.
It's an absolute trap.
Yep.
And you're not the only one to have been sucked in by it. Thousands of men are.
Yep. We should say, Peter, you've been involved with men's ministry for several years in small groups, talking, journeying with men going through sexual addiction.
Sexual addiction, and it can do dreadful things to people's lives. It can destroy them and lead them down even worse paths as they try to fill that vacuum in their heart. But we know there's a better way to fill that vacuum.
Yeah, amen to that.
And we're going to get to that better way, but unfortunately... There's more to the story that we need to share about what happened next in your life.
Yeah, so and so we're heading towards the end of my high school time by this time. Mm-hmm. So I was, addicted to that. I was also got myself a job at a video game store in high school, and so that was all happening. So my relationship with God was minimal, if anything, really, except on Sundays.
There might have been just a bit of a flicker before, but now it's just getting cold.
Yeah, very cold and very religious still. So on Sundays, played the part during the week, not really. Even going to a Christian school, I played the part there. But my addiction was, I was trying to hide it from everyone and anyone. Every so often I'd talk about it, but not to really wanting to bring healing from it. So I hit end of high school, and that idea of that vacuum, so, you know, this addiction's there, I'm trying to fill it up because God's not there anymore, or didn't feel like he was. I thought, okay, but I want more. And that's where I thought, okay, I'll finish high school, I'll work in this workplace. And it was during this workplace that I met a lot of people who had never been to church, don't know who Jesus is or anything about Jesus. It was at that time I also discovered this wonderful world called the rave scene in Melbourne.
And what is that?
Yeah, great question. So the rave scene in Melbourne was just these dance parties. So if you can imagine a big warehouse with lots of bright lights, lots of speakers and very loud music. And
this is very attractive to teenagers, well, right now.
Yeah, that's right.
They just want to drop everything and get into that dance scene.
Yeah, definitely.
Lots of people off their faces.
Yeah, and it was a world that I had never been or exposed to. Mm-hmm. I think when I went there, it was like this moment of discovering something. All these people seem really happy, whether if they were assisted happiness through different various drugs that they took, or there was a sense of them wanting something. They were all happy, but the music would create happiness into them. And I looked, and my work was getting a little bit boring because I thought I'd be a career person, make money. That wasn't enough. And I saw this guy up on a stage, and he was had headphones very similar to yours, and he had them on, and he's playing. He had records going, and as he was playing, people were screaming and dancing. And I thought to myself, that's what I want. That's what I want to be.
That will fill up the void.
That will fill up the void. That, okay, the work's not happening. The church stuff, you know, I'm done with that. Let's try this DJ thing. And so I threw myself into the world. So went to dance parties. At that time, I thought, no, I'm scared to take drugs because I know that's bad because of my religious background. And also I was scared if something happened to me, you know. So I didn't touch it, but I was happy to go to the parties and dance and buy records and try to do DJing at home, which I could do. But if I got asked to do some sort of DJing thing at outside home, at a friend's house or something, it was like this moment where my ears could not pick up the beats. Which
is not a good thing if you're supposed to be matching the beats.
Yeah, I'm a terrible DJ. So,
well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, that's right. But on reflection, I know that was God saying, that's not what I have for you.
Shabu John is our guest today. He's brave enough to share, just really open up about some intimate parts of his life so that we can learn from that. And we'll have more of this conversation when we return right here on Real Faith.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401-132-888.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. And you can listen to past programs about the impact faith has had on others. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scatabo, and today we're chatting with Shabu John. He's Pastor Shabu John. He's one of the pastors over at Canterbury Gardens Community Church. And Peter Manhennett and myself are chatting with him, finding out his story. We all worked together in ministry a few years ago, but we never knew his full story, so we're finding it out today. As we heard before the break, he grew up in a good Christian home, and he thought of himself as a good Christian kid, did all the right things. However, his heart was gradually getting colder and colder to things of the Lord, and he descended into addiction and many other problems as well. Now let's find out what happens next in his life.
So I worked, DJed, trying to DJ. I was bad at it. And then next thing you know, a friend of mine introduced me to marijuana, and I thought, oh, that's okay. It's once in a while. And yeah, that was this world I started getting into, and anything to do with church and God, I just completely pushed away.
Mm-hmm.
I was not involved or interested at all. It was not far from that where the DJ thing I got frustrated with, because it wasn't filling that void. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, I'll work, make money as well, and DJ. So the work thing wasn't working either. All this void, everything that I wanted to fill my life up wasn't satisfying. And it was at that point I met a guy who was DJing in one of the clubs that I was visiting, and he introduced me to a world called nightclub promotions. And then that introduced me to the scene of another drug scene of cocaine. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, and in that world, I started taking cocaine and partying and being clubbing. But all of this stuff was really unraveling my life. And this messy sort of world I was in, I had this porn addiction going on. All these things were all mm-hmm. melting into, you know, that picture that Jesus talks about. Weeds tangling.
Mm-hmm.
That was my world. Yeah.
And the weeds were choking the life out of you.
That's correct. Yeah, definitely. And it was in this moment where I thought, okay, I'm not getting a girlfriend or anything. So I just started to visit different brothels at that time as well. It was that feeding of addiction escalated. It's like with anything, started in marijuana, escalated to
cocaine. It's not satisfying, so you need more.
Yeah, it was an escalation of trying to fill this void.
You need a bigger buzz.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it can end in an explosion rather than a buzz.
Yeah, that's right. So that was the world, but it was well hidden in the sense my parents had no idea. They knew that I was getting up to, you know, smoking cigarettes and maybe drinking, but they didn't know the world I was living in.
Mm.
And it was a world of lies, so I would lie to everyone and anyone just to get what I wanted. Even the relationships I had at that time with the opposite sex in particular was all about me. I would lie to them, and it was messy. And that void started just entangling, growing, and the darkness started growing as well.
Okay. Yeah. How did you turn the corner? Well, I should say, how did God help you turn the corner?
Yeah, so it was an interesting way of doing it, because as this was all happening and the messiness was going on, the life of lying and stealing and lying to my friends, even, who didn't know Jesus, hit a brick wall. A friend of mine, who had no idea who Jesus is, found out about these lies that I was doing, and he basically confronted me at a friend's house, and I sat down with him, and I thought, oh no, this is it. It's all over. He's going to tell me, I don't want to be your friend anymore. You're all done. It's going to get out to everybody else. And he turned around to me and said, what do you think I should do? And I said to him, well, I think I totally understand if you don't want to be my friend anymore. I get it. And he turned around to you and goes, oh, I'm choosing to forgive you, even though you've hurt me. Now, for someone who's grown up fairly religious, that story was very familiar to me. Mm. And it just hit me. Like, it was like a brick wall. And
forgiveness in action in your life.
That's right. Yeah.
And up close and personal.
Very close and personal. Someone who's not religious. It was at that moment I thought to myself, okay, I know this story. I know where this is heading. So after he'd done that, I remember him saying, you need to talk to your parents about this. So we sat in my lounge room, my parents. He told my parents, you know, Shabu has something to tell you. And I told him exactly what I was doing in my life, including all the lies and stealing and hurting people and all this kind of messiness. And my parents' response was, okay, we're glad it's out. So we need you to start meeting with our pastor from this church that I grew up in. And I'm like, not interested in any of this God stuff. I know where this is. I'm not interested. But I think God warmed my heart to the idea. And I said, okay. So I decided to meet with this pastor. And what he did was he sat with me and he said, I just want you to get to know who this Jesus is. And so read one of the Gospels together. And it started thinking and stirring something in me that it was a familiar story, but it was like a fresh look at it. But yet I had this like two worlds, one world of my clubbing and, you know, but there was a different light now. I was free from all the lies. And so you know, I wanted to still be in that world, but there was this other reality that was calling me and drawing me.
Yeah, I was curious to know what was new this time.
Yeah. I think that the difference was he didn't tell me what I should read or do. He just said to me, spend time reading, at that time was the Gospel of Luke. Mm-hmm. And he told me just to read it and ask questions of who Jesus is and who he talks about himself. And with a shadow of doubt, it was the first time I started going, actually, I know the story, but I'm seeing Jesus as the only thing that can really fill this vacuum and void. Yet I didn't want to, because I had this world that I knew was my clubbing scene. Mm. I was, you know, that was my identification. But so the dramatic turning point was, as I was wrestling with this truth of who Jesus is, I remember going to a clubbing night, came home pretty early to a friend's house, lying on the couch. And as I closed my eyes, it was dark, I felt this presence in the room. And let's just say it wasn't a nice presence. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty dark kind of feeling. And my first reaction was, Jesus, forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. And then I heard a growl, and then there was peace that just filled my heart. And I fell down on my side of my bed, I knelt down, and I cried out to Jesus and said, please forgive me, please be my God, be my Lord. You're in charge. You're the only ones that can fill this vacuum. Mm. So please take over. But please don't let me go. That was my other prayer. That was the turning point. That was the journey.
That was when the light came in to start destroying the darkness that had been in your life.
Yeah. That was the turning point for me. And I think, though, from there, the addiction didn't stop.
No, not just instantly.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's another whole journey.
That's a whole journey, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but fast forwarding, you become a pastor. Yeah. So there's a whole lot that comes in between there.
I think if you fast forward, I think even in all of that, the thing that keeps on coming back to me to this day is that being a Christian doesn't mean that you have got it together.
Mm.
Being a Christian ultimately is you are a beautiful mess. And it's a
beautiful mess.
Yeah,
that's a good way of putting it.
It's a good thing, but Jesus is the one who's very good at fixing messes, like he's done with my life.
Amen.
And to this day, I'm realizing I still need him. I still have all my temptations that might tempt me. But what I'm realizing, the vacuum, is that Jesus is the only one that can truly, truly, utterly satisfy.
That's right.
And that's what I'm discovering every day.
And you're now a husband and a father as well.
Yeah, I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world, and we were married 10 years just last week. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. That was well done.
Yeah.
She is a gorgeous girl. We both know her from our previous ministry.
And that's a testimony that God's very gracious to give her.
Isn't he?
Yeah, that's right, to give her to someone like me. And then, we were very blessed with three beautiful kids.
Thank you so much for sharing so honestly what you've gone through, because I think so many people, including myself and others, can learn from the cautionary tale that was your story.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the time. It's a great privilege, and I hope this helps people to know you can just be real with Jesus in whatever season of life you're in.
That's right. That's right.
You're right there.
Shabu John has been our guest today. Peter Menhennett, thanks for helping out with today's program.
Pleasure indeed.
And once again, our guest has been Shabu John, one of the pastors at Canterbury Gardens Community Church.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.